Can we count on you? A strong but mentally challenged farmhand named Lem lived in a valley in the state of Vermont. His mother resented him from the day he was born. She often ridiculed him with harsh and demeaning words. Even so, the boy served her till she died. Lem was the target of village jokes. But then one night he came upon a huge dog killing some farmer's sheep. Using his bare hands as his only weapon, he strangled the dog to death. When morning came, the villagers discovered the dog was really a giant timber wolf. Lem quickly earned the villagers' silent admiration. Later, an unwed village girl falsely accused Lem of being the father of her baby. Even though he was innocent, he married the girl so the baby would have a father. Unfortunately, the mother died within a year, so Lem raised the little girl. After she was grown and married, her own baby became desperately ill, and Lem sold all his sheep to pay for the baby's medical care. Confronted with meanness, misunderstanding, and loneliness all his life, Lem had some choices to make. He could have chosen a life of bitterness and vengeance. Instead, he chose to serve others faithfully. Paul the Apostle had sent his young protege Timothy to lead a church, a large church in the city of Ephesus. And it had some challenges. It had some struggles. False teachers had come in and there was some division in the ranks. And Timothy was facing a challenging situation. In 2 Timothy chapter 2, verses 1 to 7, the Apostle Paul exhorts his apprentice Timothy to search for people like this. 2 Timothy 2, verses 1 to 7. He says, "You then, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus, and the things you have heard me say in the presence of many witnesses, entrust to reliable men, faithful, trustworthy men, who will also be qualified to teach others. Endure hardship with us like a good soldier of Christ Jesus. No one serving as a soldier gets involved in civilian affairs. He wants to please his commanding officer. Similarly, if anyone competes as an athlete, he does not receive the victor's crown unless he competes according to the rules. The hardworking farmer should be the first to receive a share of the crops. Reflect on what I am saying, for the Lord will give you insight into all this." Let's pray for a moment. Lord, we do want to pause and reflect on your word. We thank you for the example of men and women who have gone before us, people who have been faithful to you to the very end. They inspire us, they challenge us and encourage us. And we pray, Lord, that you would work in our hearts, that we would be known as faithful people, that we would reflect your heart, your character, like you have never let us down. I know, Lord, that you are trusting us. You are calling us to put our faith in you. You are also putting your faith in us. You have entrusted to us many things, the keys of the kingdom. You have entrusted to us words to speak and works to do. And Lord, we commit ourselves to reflecting your heart in this way. Would you speak to us through your word? We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. A faithful person is like a good soldier. Look at 2 Timothy 2, what we just read there, verses 3 and 4 particularly. A good soldier is focused on pleasing his commanding officer. You cannot please everyone. Maybe you've already found that out. If you haven't, you will. Sooner rather than later. In fact, there might be times when you cannot please anyone. There is one, however, you should aim to please at all times. This simplifies life a whole lot when you and I can focus on pleasing one. Some people's favorite hymn should be called "Onward Christian Teddy Bears." Life as a follower of Jesus is more than a frolic, it's a fight. It's not a playground, it's a battlefield. The follower of Jesus is more than a son or daughter, a saint, a servant, and a steward. We learn here that a follower of Jesus is also a soldier. he or she has been given orders to endure hardship as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. This is a message we don't often hear today. I believe the Lord really wants to speak to us about being faithful and about being tough. And in this case, tough like a soldier. The Apostle Paul elaborates here. Look at 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verses 3 to 5. 2 Corinthians 10, verses 3 to 5. He says, "For though we live in the world, we do not wage war as the world does. The weapons we fight with are not the weapons of the world. On the contrary, they have divine power to demolish strongholds. We demolish arguments and every pretension that sets itself up against the knowledge of God, and we take captive every thought to make it obedient to Christ." Soldiers take their thoughts captive and make them obedient to the master, the general. Let your yes be yes and your no be no. Jesus teaches us that we aren't to go to elaborate lengths to swear by certain things. He just simply says, let your yes be yes and your no be no. A good soldier is to be a man of his word. When you make a commitment, you must do everything within your power to make this commitment. Your words should mean business. When you say something, you should be committed to fulfilling what you have promised, what you have vowed, any commitments that you have made. This should be true if you are getting paid for your work or not. It bothers me in our culture today where we distinguish between paid work and volunteer work. And when we look at volunteer work, we think, well, it's just volunteer. I don't have to show up. I don't have to be diligent. I don't have to do this or that. I don't see that distinction in God's word. Whether you are paid or not, your word should be your word. Your commitment should be your commitment. This should be true in relationships with your family, your friends, your church, your work, school, and neighborhood. Faithfulness or dependability is described in Psalm 15. There are a couple verses I'd like to look at in Psalm 15, verse 1 and verse 4. Psalm 15, verse 1 and verse 4. Lord, who may dwell in your sanctuary? Who may live on your holy hill? We often quote that verse, but skip down to verse 4, which says, "He who despises a vile man but honors those who fear the Lord, who keeps his oath even when it hurts." That is a sign of holiness. That's one of the signs of holiness, is to keep our oaths, to keep our word, to keep our promises, even when it hurts. Doing what's right because it's right can push you through and enable you to persevere in any circumstance. Principles are not based upon the latest public opinion poll. Principles that you and I are to live by are to be based upon God's word. They are unshakable. They are unchangeable. God asks that you humbly proceed through life doing what is right at every juncture, at every intersection. You choose what is godly and right and true. Faithfulness or reliability is listed in the fruit of the Spirit in Galatians 5:22. Look at the list of the 9 fruit of the Spirit. You will find faithfulness listed there. Like the other fruit of the Spirit, it grows in our lives as we cooperate with the Holy Spirit day in and day out. It grows in us because of what the Holy Spirit is doing in us and because of our cooperation with the Holy Spirit in us. Again, it's a divine partnership. He is giving us the ability to grow this fruit. He is growing it in us, but we have a part to play in everyday obedience. Good fruit grows as the gardener and the elements work together over time. A soldier in a good mood entered the barracks and called out, "I'll give $20 to the laziest man here." Everyone scrambled to his feet and rushed forward to tell how lazy he was, except one tall Texan. He simply drawled, "Just roll me over and slip it in my pocket." As a spiritual soldier, you must guard in 7 strategic areas. First of all, in your thoughts. Master them by knowing the Word of God, by refusing time for vain imaginations, and by choosing to think on the proper things, what is good and godly, what is right and pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, think about such things. Second, feelings. Allow God to use your emotions by practicing forgiveness and being filled with the Holy Spirit. A soldier has feelings. A soldier is not a robot, but a soldier does manage his or her feelings. They are not ruled by their emotions. They master their emotions. Third, speech. Be slow to speak and quick to listen. Don't repeat rumors. Be honest and positive. Ask yourself, would Jesus be pleased with what I'm saying? It's as if he's hearing every word you say. It's as if he really is. He hears every word you and I say, and sometimes we live denying this, and we think, oh, he's not really, but he is.
I also think, too, that he's taking it on a tape recorder for me to hear.
Sometimes I think he has a record button there. Yeah. And we are told in the scriptures that one day our lives will be replayed. I'm not sure if they'll be replayed entirely or just snippets, but the Lord does take note of every word that you and I say. That's a serious thing to remember.
There was a video I saw on YouTube a while back where this guy had a dream about the end times when God comes back and destroys your body.
Yeah.
And in that dream, he said that your Holy Spirit actually testifies to everything you did in your life.
That's a very sobering thought, right? Every word. And Jesus says, by your words you'll be acquitted, by your words you'll be condemned. And your words are a reflection of what's going on inside. So be careful what you say. Be careful what comes across your lips. Very good. 4, relationships. Those who lack commitment can hold you back. But a Christ-centered relationship can be used of God. There are times in your life where you will have to decide who is influencing whom here. Which way is the influence going? And will I continue to walk with this person and point them to Jesus? Or is this person actually diverting me and distracting me and bringing me away from Jesus? There are times in my life when I have had to make that strategic decision. Those are difficult but life-changing decisions. Sometimes we have to decide. 5, time. Use every hour wisely. Never again will you have the same opportunity to show and tell what God is like. Time will not be replaced. You can't get it back. You might be able to get some money back every now and again, but time, there is no refund on time. Watch how you spend your time. Be wise in how you spend your time. 6, energy. Leave time to think, pray, and rest, lest you open yourself to Satan's attacks. Make sure you take good care of your body, your soul, and your spirit. Get the rest you need. Have some fun along the way. That's not unspiritual. It is fun can be part of a balanced diet for your soul, and get some rest. Have a good diet, get some exercise, take care of yourself. 7, life's details. Great ministries have fallen because of inattention to details. Remember that the safest place in the world is in the center of God's will. The Lord will try you with a little to see what you would do with a lot. This is a kingdom principle. He who is faithful in little will be faithful in much. And if you want more, be faithful in the little you have already been entrusted to by the Lord. A faithful person is like a good soldier and is like a good athlete. Let's look again at 2 Timothy 2 and verse 5 this time. A good athlete competes according to the rules. Rules have received bad press these days. They are often seen as inhibiting and oppressive. But rules is what Paul says to Timothy that can be very helpful. Get rules working for you. There are certain rules and laws of the universe and in the kingdom that cannot be changed. Try testing the law of gravity, for example. This cannot be changed. People often view rules as legalistic. Paul refers to rules here as strict conformity to whatever the particular contest demands, first in training, then in actual performance. If you ever watch an athlete in a game publicly, this person, what they are doing on the field or on the ice, on the court, they have done many, many times in practice privately. Who you are privately eventually becomes who you are publicly. Professional golfer Lee Trevino reveals there is no such thing as natural touch. Touch is something you create by hitting millions of golf balls. The Olympic athlete is featured in 1 Corinthians 9. 1 Corinthians chapter 9 and verses 24 to 27. Let's look at what Paul says here in 1 Corinthians 9, 24 to 27. Do you not know that in a race all the runners run, but only one gets the prize? Run in such a way as to get the prize. Everyone who competes in the games goes into strict training. They do it to get a crown that will not last, but we do it to get a crown that will last forever. Therefore, I do not run like a man running aimlessly. I do not fight like a man beating the air. No, I beat my body and make it my slave, so that after I have preached to others, I myself will not be disqualified for the prize. That sounds like pretty strict training to me. 2,000 years ago, the Olympic athlete disciplined himself and trained himself exceedingly hard, not for a gold medal. Athletes in those days trained for a wreath of simple, perishable leaves to be placed on his head. They would go through this severe, strict training for a crown of leaves that would eventually wither and die. Phil Jackson, Basketball Hall of Fame player, coach, and executive, explained, "My goal is to position our team to win in the last 5 minutes of the game." Position yourself to win through spiritual discipline and training now. Don't wait. Start now. An interview years ago with Olympic gold medalist Carolyn Waldo. She was a synchronized swimmer. She made an impact on me. When asked how her life would be different after the Olympics, she remarked that she would enjoy a social life again. That remark made a difference for me, and I still remember it many years later. I caught a little bit of a glimpse of the sacrifice that she had to make to be an Olympic champion. Do you want to be a winner in the long run? In the great marathon that Jesus is challenging you to run? The secret to persistence in sports is concentrating on mastery. Do not focus on competing with those around you in your spiritual training. You will always find lazy athletes around you that will make you feel proud. On the other hand, you will always find athletes that are better than you that will discourage you. Instead, you and I should focus on being the very best that we can be, to run the race that has been assigned to us, not to compare ourselves with other runners and their races. What are the rules you need to abide by if you are going to be a finely tuned spiritual athlete? Know your Bible. Know your God. Know yourself. Know your world. Devote yourself to pursuing these disciplines and you will find your spiritual muscles begin to ripple. A faithful person is like a good soldier, a good athlete, and a good farmer. Let's look back at 2 Timothy chapter 2, this time at verse 6. A good farmer works hard. New Brunswick-born artist James Kierstead, known for his rural scenes, reveals his philosophy by observing, "Whatever I've done in life, I've done it all out." Colossians 3, verses 22 to 24, commands us to be hard workers. Colossians 3, verses 22 to 24. "Slaves, obey your earthly masters in everything, and do it not only when their eye is on you and to win their favor, but with sincerity of heart and reverence for the Lord. Whatever you do, work at it with all your heart, as working for the Lord, not for men. Since you know that you will receive an inheritance from the Lord as a reward, it is the Lord Christ you are serving." When you and I can focus on serving our master rather than any human being, we will have this intrinsic motivation that will be much more compelling, much stronger than any other motivation that there really is. Rejected by the college of his choice, a banker's son angrily accosted his father. "If you really cared for me, you would have pulled some wires." "I know," replied the parent sadly. "The TV, the router, and the phone charger would have done for a start." Work as if everything depended upon you. Pray as if everything depended upon God. Would your schoolmates, your teachers, your boss, your fellow employees describe you as a hard worker? If no, that needs to change. Would Jesus describe you as a hard worker? John Eglin had never preached a sermon in his life. Never. It wasn't that he didn't want to, but he just never needed to. But then one morning he did. The snow left his town of Colchester, England, buried in white. When he awoke on that January Sunday in 1850, he thought of staying home. Who would go to a church meeting in such weather? But he reconsidered. He was, after all, a deacon. And if the deacons didn't go, who would? So he put on his boots, hat, and coat and walked the 6 miles to the Methodist church. He wasn't the only member who considered staying home. In fact, he was one of the few who came. Only 13 were present, 12 members and one visitor. Even the minister was snowed in. Someone suggested they go home. Eglin would hear none of that. They'd come this far, they would have a service. Besides, they had a visitor, a 13-year-old boy. But who would preach? Eglin was the only deacon there, so it fell to him. And so he did. His sermon lasted only 10 minutes. It drifted and wandered and made no point in an effort to make several. But at the end, an uncharacteristic courage settled upon the man. He lifted his eyes and looked straight at the boy and challenged, "Young man, look to Jesus. Look, look, look." Did the challenge make a difference? This boy had become a man when he testified, "I did look, and then and there the cloud on my heart lifted, the darkness rolled away, and at that moment I saw the sun." The boy's name? Charles Haddon Spurgeon, England's Prince of Preachers. Are you known as dependable? When you commit yourself to a task, can you be counted on to follow through? A faithful person is like a good soldier, a good athlete, and a good farmer. A productive person is a dependable person. Let's pray. Lord, it seems that in a world that's so fickle and changeable, this quality of faithfulness is all too rare. First of all, we want to thank you that you are faithful. You have shown us in our lives. You have shown us in your death on the cross. You have shown us in creating the universe and creating us. For your provision, for your goodness, you are faithful. And Lord, we want our lives to reflect your faithfulness. We want to be known as faithful people. Not that people would admire us, but we would be able to point people to you. We'd be able to testify of your faithfulness and how you're working in us and how this quality of God is being developed in us. We pray for the fruit of faithfulness in us. And today we commit ourselves to doing all that we can to preserve and grow this fruit. We want this quality cultivated in our lives, Lord. We want your faithfulness to be exhibited through how we live day to day. In the midst of the dailiness of life, the daily grind, I pray that we would have a fresh appreciation for the quality of faithfulness, because faithfulness is a reflection of your character, your heart. So would you work in us, Lord, and change us? And where we need correction, would you bring that to us? Where we need to repent and ask forgiveness for being unfaithful, would you forgive us, Lord? And would you point out where we need to ask people to forgive us, where we have been unfaithful? You are the faithful one. You're the faithful God. Thank you for dying for us, for offering new life in Jesus for us. Thank you, Holy Spirit, for growing the quality of faithfulness in us. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.